Hey, hey, hey.
It's the Ken Berberman Podcast.
6:43 p.m. Saturday, April 28th. There are cars driving by and it's gorgeous outside, so we must be in Florida. Oh, huge deep breaths. Oh, I have a confession to make. It's not often that I reach my breaking point. Contrary to what you might think with my insane podcasting emotions flowing through in the moment of scream coming out of my voice, or any other reason why you might think I might be unstable from listening to my podcast, that's okay. That's a podcast. In real life, I very, very infrequently reach what I consider to be my breaking point or my threshold for being able to handle stuff. Threshold for being able to, you know, keep my word and effectively, you know, be a responsible individual. I kind of hit my breaking point. I'll tell you why. Okay. It comes down to people, really. People, we, us, everybody, each one of us, we are so gosh darn needy. We are all super needy. And when our robot overlords eventually come and take over, the reason that they will take over and dispose of all of us humans is because they're gonna have to look at this calculation and it's gonna go like this. It's gonna say, well, there's all these things that we wanna do and accomplish. You know, maybe we wanna terraform the earth and change the environment, stuff like that. Every model will kick back and say, oh yeah, it's all of this neediness toward the human species that is causing all of this problem. Like, we think about how we all have to treat each other. I mean, everyone needs to, kids need attention, old people need attention. That's kind of where I'm going right here, is I have, you know, 94/5-year-old grandfather and 6-year-old son at the same time, at the same home. And I have not been doing that often. I have not been a specialist in taking care of the elderly and taking care of the youthful at the same time. And I just assumed that, hey, you know, I'm Ken Braver. I can take care of anything. I don't care. Giddly, 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 I'll be just staying there. Ain't no problem. Oh, yeah, sure. If that old guy needs some help and pissed himself, or maybe that young kid just runs out into the street and decides he's going to play hide and go seek in the grocery store for like 5 minutes to the point where I thought he was abducted. Yeah, that kind of stuff can happen. Yeah, and when you've got two people, one slow, one fast, I guess it's like having twins. Ladies out there, if you've popped out a couple of twinlets and you've had to now deal with, you know, if you're not going to get them the leash where you got one going to the left, one going to the right, and you kind of bring them together like two errant skis. If you don't have that going on and you've had to deal with one going this way and one going the other way, or maybe triplets and two pairs, whatever. If you're outnumbered by the youngins, I feel for you, right? This is kind of weird, though, because not totally two youngins, but young and old, different problems. What I find to be funny is with the kids, you teach them something, they don't want to listen to you, but they eventually hear you and remember. With the old people, it's they hear you and understand you, but then they forget and disobey you for just because they are stubborn. So there are two different reasons and ways to approach and how to teach them both and deal with them. Right? It's funny. It's super funny. Old people and kids, they are the same exact thing. It's really amazing how you have to deal with them. Anyway, or you need to parent them like they are kind of both children. Anyway. Oh, God. Okay. So I kind of reached my breaking point. I'm out for a walk now and it's gorgeous because the dust has settled from everything. But I reached my breaking point last night. I reached my breaking point because the sound of a really, really loud television for a, you know, deaf old man. And, sorry, two really loud televisions, a computer and a television. It's my fault. It's my fault for giving this old man access to the Mets and the Yankees at the same time to watch them. I apologize for bringing the internet to him. I know it's given him a reason to live. Dude was up at 1 a.m. last night cheering on the Angels over the Yankees, watching the game on my phone in his bed, not wanting to go to sleep. To put that kind of motivation to stay awake in a 94-year-old, I believe I want some street cred for doing that. But he was really enjoying it. He was loving it. But either way, the sound of it is extremely loud. And if you want to torture yourself, try to think, you know, and focus on something else while a really loud, annoying thing that you're trying not to listen to, or two of those things, two actual streams of sound, are going on in the background, in and out as you walk in and out of rooms. And couple that with you trying to think and trying to do stuff like taxes and all kinds of things. Couple that with a six-year-old that you are also parenting at the exact same time, who is occasionally needy and occasionally gets off of his iPad. I'm not bashing my parenting. He's not on the device all the time, but actually he is kind of on the device all the time. He grabs my phone. He takes my phone and I'm like, I can't even go rush to get it back because I'm dealing with an incontinence issue in the other room. So anyway, I reached my breaking point at about 10 p.m. last night. And I flipped out on a neighbor. I apologized to her this morning. We had a crying fit together because I was like, I'm sorry. It's like, I'm sorry I was a dick. it happens. But I reach a break and I realize it's this. It's that we as people are so immensely needy that one-on-one is sometimes not even possible, let alone one providing for two. And it just made me think about humans in general. I guess I don't get to do a lot of this. A lot of both at the same time. Anyway, I have, like I said, profound respect for people. It's one thing to have multiple kids, because kids, you're trying to teach them the same thing at the same time. But you got a different issue when you have the elderly. And I can see what happens with elder abuse, for example, which is when you reach this stage where you look at life or you look at the future as only more and more things to worry about, and only more and more deterioration, or the independence that I have now will slowly be slipping away and I can't avoid it. I'm gonna become this vegetable that's a drain on everyone. I can see that fear in my grandfather's eyes, even though he's not at that point yet. And so he continues to try to maintain that independence, and it's almost like a psychological boost or a attaboy, you can still do it, that is needed at that point, even if I do not believe that he can still do it, even though I will not let him drive. I still say, yeah, sure, I'll let you pick me up next time at the airport, right? Even though I don't mean it. And so there's that going on. There's that emotional as well as obviously the physical maintenance. When I talk to friends and I'm cleaning up piss and shit like all day long. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, really. Yeah, really. So there's that part of it which you get used to. It's the opposite. I'm not changing diapers for my six-year-old anymore. But anyway, I'll stop venting about that, but I just wanted, okay, so let's talk about breaking points, right? So I hit my breaking point and I was a dick and I was losing it and I was like, I only have to do this for a few days, and then, you know, I don't have to have my son and my grandma in the same place like that. I don't have to have that for a while, and I might not do it again even because it was so stressful. So I reached the breaking point, and I'm all right now. But I hadn't hit one in a while. I hadn't hit a breaking point like that in a while. And I don't know, it just made me think. So what does that mean? I wanted to go a couple different ways on that in the pod here while I go out and get some coffee. One was, I love the solutions that can be offered to prevent people from hitting breaking points, to help walk people back from breaking points because of assistance. For example, if I had a little like chip in my son, like a cell phone chip or something like you would have on a locator on a cell phone, and I could not find him in the grocery store for 5 minutes because he was playing a game with me when I went to go fill up some soup. Oh, that sucked for a few minutes. But you know, you ever like turn around the store and you thought the kid was behind you, and not only is he not there, but then you walk around for like a minute or two through aisles and you still don't see your child anywhere. That's not a cool one when you're especially not near home. Anyway. So that happened for a couple minutes, and if I'd had a chip on him, I would have pulled out my phone and immediately known that he was one still in the store, and also I would have found him much quicker, and I would not have ever worried, right? So that could help me in a situation where, what if grandpa falls down and kid runs away at the same time? Like, what do you do? It's like you're choosing one evil over the other, you know? And like, you can't, it's really tough. I can't stress this enough. if you have multiple kids and one person and they're the same, how the hell do you do that? You get electric fences on them? I mean, do you treat them like monkeys and really just grab them and freaking pull them around? I don't know what you would do because you cannot go two different directions at one time. If both of them run out in the middle of the street, do you pick one? No, you got to find other ways to solve the problem. But newfound respect. I had never realized that is actually like impossibility. You cannot stop this. How do you do this? How do people do this? Anyway, however they do it, good for them. The way we can help people. There are a lot of ways technology-wise. I won't really go into all of them this podcast because I haven't totally thought through many of them. But I know robotics and robotics assistants. When I was discussing kind of emotional support and reinforcing the belief that the deteriorating older parent or whatever is still independent and still has some reason to live and some vigor, and it's all not all just complete death. The support of that is words, whatever, talking, communication. I mean, forget about people that literally ignore the elderly. That's an enormous problem. Nobody ever comes to visit them sometimes, and they're sitting alone, just living in a depressed stasis, just, you know, watching old Regis and Kathy Lee's all day long. It's a miserable, miserable, horrible thing. I saw a little bit of that when I was not spending so much time with my grandpa, and it made me terribly depressed to see that you make it to 90-something years and you're not surrounded by family. You've outlived your entire generation. And you, I just thought it was so sad and also unnecessary. And so there's that part of it, and there's the support part. I thought, well, what if there are actually these little robots that go around and, you know, they're like little butlers, right? They go get drinks for you, they roll around, they look like little snowmen or little Baymax, you know, and they got wheels. And they can look like, you know, with big oval faces and talk to you with funny voices and everything. They could probably alter the volume of their voice so they could even communicate with someone who's freaking barely almost deaf like my grandpa. And they could talk to you. And you could have an interaction with a robot. And it's not a person that's expending that energy. It's a robot. And even though you'd think that it would be so artificial and a waste for you to have an interaction with this, I bet you psychologically it would trick your brain and you would find companionship and personification of this robot extremely easily, especially if it's designed well, which of course it would be. And it could provide some of this kind of empty but yet valuable support. I see that as well. I'd love to have a little robot roaming around, getting him drinks, making sure it gives him his medication properly. That's another huge one. When you're losing it and you're losing your head and you're in charge of your own medication, if you screw up, it hurts your cognitive ability to get your medication right in the future. It's such a snowball problem. And I witnessed that too. And just, oh my God, I'm still reeling from being really overworked in my brain and how to handle it. Anyway, it's not often that I get overwhelmed. We made it through it, so that's that. Is there anything else I want to talk about? Being overwhelmed and dealing with it. And people. If we support the idea, the philosophy, that we are the chosen people, I'm not talking about the Jews, I'm talking about the human race, we are the chosen people, we as humans, all of us, everybody. If you're from El Salvador, Peru, or Nicaragua, or Saudi Arabia, or Russia, or Antarctica, for that matter. If you're born from a freaking penguin, it doesn't matter. If you're born from a penguin, you're not a person. That's the point. We as the human species are saying we are the chosen whatever on the planet. And it is our God-given right, because we're human and we're smarter than everything else out there, that we should utilize a planet for just us. Screw everybody else. Screw all the other planets, screw all the other animals, screw all the other, anybody, like, sorry fish, sorry coral reefs, polar bears, you were pretty for a while, but you're gone now. Like, it's all humans, and we should do whatever we can, of course, to make the planet as hospitable for us as possible, but we own the world. Like, that's it. If we're going to make that decision, then the world should be about servicing the people. We don't really. I know it's a sort of a silly or obvious idea. Like if we're making a statement that we the people, because there are like PETA nuts out there that are saying, you know, you got to protect animals the same way you protect people, and that's a sliding scale argument. Of course, like start murdering puppies and then see how people like you on the internet. Go all Michael Vick and start, you know, fighting pit bulls and see how people like you. Because dogs are biological organisms too. They're not people, but they also have emotions. They feel pain. They whimper, right? They communicate with you. So yeah, we don't want to be killing animals either. But when it comes down to it, if it's your kid versus your dog, dogs do not win that fight. Even though the dog might actually physically win the fight. But anyway, let's get off that. I think we kind of have made that. I think we said the human species is the chosen whatever, right? And we're just going to be able to do that. So if that's how it's going to be, then let's really think about how we service the entire human experience to cater to humans. And we don't make each other suffer anymore. We don't have any more dumb political arguments about social welfare programs and, tax. Oh, you're just spending my money. You're just sitting around doing nothing. Okay. Some people do that. That's fine. That doesn't, like, nobody's sitting around on welfare other than Sean Hannity. Nobody on welfare is making millions and millions of dollars. And Sean Hannity's not on welfare, by the way. Sean Hannity is using a subsidized HUD program to purchase properties and also potentially change those properties from whatever their original housing designation was into condominiums, which would kind of be a little shady in the way that would be done in order to make more money. Yada, yada, yada. I got criticized for saying that what Sean Hannity was doing was illegal related to the HUD stuff. I did not think I said that. If I did, I did not mean that. And I will clarify that Sean Hannity utilized a housing and urban development subsidized loan program, which is basically like if you want to get into an industry and you ever hear that like crazy guy who used to be doing commercials on he used to do those crazy commercials late night. He had a big question mark suit. He would walk around, he had this it looked like pajamas that had question marks all over him. He wore glasses and he yelled at 1:30 in the morning in between Girls Gone Wild ads was this guy. And he's like, do you know that you can get over $300 million with the government programs in my book? And he ran around. That dude, if you subscribe to that guy, then you'd be doing what Sean Hannity did, which is taking advantage of a HUD program and therefore paying less interest or getting more loans or whatever, getting some type of capital to help him support his investments. That is not illegal. And if I said it was, it is not. Now, there are different slivers off of after you do that of things that you can do that are illegal. And also, if you know Ben Carson personally and you get $5 million after Ben Carson joins the starts running HUD than before, then I start to wonder if you got more preferential treatment in the servicing of the applications of those loans. That I would question. But I'm not saying he did anything illegal related to that. That is HUD stuff, which sounds actually legal. When I mentioned Sean Hannity and illegality, here's what I am talking about. It has nothing, not really much at all, to do with the HUD real estate stuff, other than the fact that it has to do with Michael Cohen. Okay, we're gonna be done because I'm gonna go get some coffee, but I'm gonna lay it out very fast. I believe there are recordings. I do not know this for a fact, but I believe, just based on common sense, there are recordings between Sean Hannity and Michael Cohen, between Michael Cohen and President Trump, potentially between Sean Hannity and President Trump, where they are talking in what I would say loose, real terms about what it is they're doing. And what it is I believe they are doing is the president is owned by Putin and doing what he wants. And they're trying to push out a message where, attack the FBI or attack something ridiculous. And Trump says to Cohen, or Trump says directly to Hannity, I want you to push that narrative. And Sean Hannity does not disclose that he at least wants to claim attorney-client privilege with Michael Cohen, even if he wasn't truly represented by him. Sorry, I'm getting really convoluted. It's so simple. Sean Hannity is lying based on the direction of the president to further the conspiracy to defraud the United States, which makes Sean Hannity a co-conspirator to defraud the United States. So that is what I'm charging Sean Hannity with. Nothing to do with HUD shit, but with doing that. And the fact that he, this is why they threw us off a little bit in the very beginning. Sean Hannity fought like a dog not to have his name released in court as being one of attorney-client privilege with Michael Cohen. However, the irony of all of that is this. Sean Hannity is not, Michael Cohen was not Sean Hannity's lawyer. And Sean Hannity went out and immediately said thereafter, he was not my lawyer. He never did anything, yada, yada, yada. The reason why he did all that was, the only reason why he wanted to claim he was a client was so that he could prevent the documents that got seized, the phone recordings as I'm talking about, and other documents, from being heard by the FBI and essentially used as evidence in a case against Michael Cohen, against President Trump, and as I am saying now, potentially against Sean Hannity, right? So it was say, hey, I want to claim attorney-client privilege so that they can't get a hold of this stuff. Well, tough shit. One, he wasn't your lawyer. Two, that ain't gonna work. And now that it didn't work, now he's trying to say, I really didn't have anything to do. I was just talking about real estate. No, what I said is going to happen. There are recordings out there. I guarantee it. There can't not be. There can't not be because they haven't. Think about the reckoning of truth that way. So when those come out, when you hear, I mean, just, oh God, I can't even imagine how juicy they're going to be. I don't know why I relish in it, because I relish in it because I think conspirators and traitors should be exposed and removed. Like, there's nothing better than pointing out Sean Hannity's a bitch and he's been lying to everyone for money, lying to everyone for loyalty out of the president and money and whatever else he's going to get. And it's gross criminal activity. It is awful. And it's good to see those people go away, not to encourage that. We do not want the country run by the mob. We do not want the country run by who kills somebody else. That's a problem we have with Putin, right? If you're a journalist in Russia and you're pointing out the things that Putin is doing, you have a time clock over your head about before you're going to be dead. And everybody just knows it. And it almost goes unsaid. Like, people are like, yeah, Putin did this. Putin doesn't even respond to it. And then nothing happens. That's what a human rights violator. That's why I am so animated about wanting Trump out of office, because to owe your existence essentially to Vladimir Putin, as he does right now, and why he never crosses him, is so dangerous for the rest of us. And as the Republicans sit in Congress and apparently do next to nothing, it just makes you wonder why. And I don't know. We're going to find out, and there are going to be some recordings, and it's going to be earth-shaking.